Out of the Depths, John Newton. Foreword. John Newton, the famed London preacher and hymn writer, who in his only hymns taught the church to sing his own devotional lyrics, "Amazing Grace" and "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," wrote better than he knew when over 200 years ago he gave the world his evangelical masterpiece, Out of the Depths. Truly, this remarkable Christian classic, in its new dress, has come to the kingdom for such a time as this. What an age of universal trouble and despair ours is. Scientists are telling us that a nuclear catastrophe is almost at the stroke of midnight. Well, we certainly need a spiritual magnet to draw us up out of our depths of sin, fear, depression, and rumors of war. The reissue of Newton's soul-stirring volume provides such a magnet. Perhaps a brief biographical sketch of this Anglican church minister might help us to appreciate more fully the truths he set forth in this monumental and thrilling volume, proving the marvelous transforming power of God in a human life, which Newton originally penned in letter form. John Newton was born in London on July 24, 1725, and he came to occupy a unique position among evangelicals of his time. Doubtless, the romance of his younger days, as well as the force of his character, made him the conspicuous power he became. Newton's mother was a pious woman who filled his mind with scripture, but she died when he was but 7 years old. After 2 years of schooling, during which he learned the rudiments of Latin, he went to sea with his father. His life out on the deep sea was associated with vivid dreams, sailor recklessness, and remarkable escapes from death. Gradually, he became an abandoned and godless sailor. His father had a heavy heart over the infidelity of his son, who at one time was flogged as a deserter from the British Navy, and for over a year lived half-starved and ill-treated in abject degradation under an African slave dealer. But God, who suddenly arrested another blasphemer, Saul of Tarsus, was about to display his amazing grace in the life of the sinful sailor. One day, John Newton read Thomas à Kempis's Imitation of Christ. This sowed the seeds of his conversion, which he so vividly describes in his autobiography, Now in Your Hands. At 23 years of age, while steering a waterlogged vessel in the face of apparent death, he came to realize his deep need of God. From 1748 through 6 years, he commanded a slave ship, and in a moment of revelation turned to God, as he graphically recounts in Out of the Depths. Growing in grace, he forsook his sea life, and for the next 9 years he experienced rich and profitable fellowship with renowned revivalists like John Wesley and George Whitefield. With a thirst for learning, Newton studied Hebrew and Greek and became a gifted author, giving to the world his Olney Hymns, Omicron Letters, and Cardiphonia, which Dr. Alexander White kept on his selectest shelf of spiritual books. Doubtless, it was his lifelong friendship with William Cowper, the renowned poet, that stimulated his own poetic gift. It was in 1780 that Newton was appointed rector of St. Mary Woolnoth Church in London, alongside the Bank of England in the heart of the metropolis, and for over 20 years this church was the center of a great widespread evangelical movement. His piety, zeal, warm heart, and candor gained him the friendship of a reformer like William Wilberforce, who, through Newton's influence, came to abolish slavery. In 1805, John Newton's sight failed him, and being unable to read, he was pressed by his friends to retire. But his reply was, "What, shall the old African blasphemer stop when he can speak?" 2 years later, on December 20, 1807, John Newton went to be with the Lord whom he loved and so devotedly served. A few years ago, I had the privilege of preaching from Newton's old pulpit at St. Mary Woolnoth in London, and after the service I stood beneath the plain marble tablet near the pulpit and read the epitaph which John Newton himself wrote and requested to be placed there after his death. It reads, "John Newton, Clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel he had long labored to destroy. He ministered near 16 years at Olney in Bucks and 28 years in this church. Throughout Newton's experience at sea, the great restraining influence in his life was his deep love for Mary Catlett, whom he met when he was only 17 and Mary but 14 years old." So the conclusion of the above epitaph adds, "On February 1, 1750, he married Mary, daughter of the late George Catlett of Chatham, Kent, whom he resigned to the Lord who gave her on December 15, 1790. Among Newton's well-known hymns is "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," and in this, his De Profundis, he certainly magnifies the glorious things of God's saving grace and mercy. He tells us that he was religious in his own eyes, but often instead of prayer he learned to curse and blaspheme. But he came to confess, "Let me not fail to praise that grace which could expiate such sins as mine. The Lord beheld me with mercy. He did not strike me to hell as I justly deserved. I recollected the particulars of the life and death of Jesus for sins, not for his own, but for those who in their distress could put their trust in him, would put their trust in him. The goodness of the Father is receiving his prodigal son, nay, in running out to meet him, gained on me. The way of access to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus was found, and peace was restored. It is sufficient that he knows how to dispose of me, and that he both can and will do what is best. To him I commend myself. I trust that his will and my true interest are inseparable. To his name be glory." If, after reading the full account of this soul-inspiring record of what God can do, yours is the spirit-inspired desire to lead others out of the depth of their sin, why not give copies of this God-magnifying story of grace to your unsaved relatives and friends, praying that same will be used for their salvation? Who knows, you may win another John Newton for the Savior. Herbert Lockyer. Out of the Depths. Faith's Review and Expectation. 1 Chronicles 17, 16, and 17. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine.